Just Tuesday nights, 1-1 draw at Sutton this week. Gabriel, last week's Sutton fan, says, at least I got my score prediction right. Captain Britain can't help thinking those are the games we have to win at the end of the season. Hopefully, that's a point gained and not two lost. Aaron Lewis can't fault the effort, but adds, if we're serious about getting promoted, that is 2 points dropped. Liam calls it a great point. Graham Miles thought there was a lot of effort, but not much quality. We fell into Sutton's way of playing and looked to score from a set piece or a long ball. Ewan saw one of the most frustrating matches. Played well, had chances to win it, but it wasn't our night and a poor goal to concede. James thought we were poor, and to not bring a sub on except in the 90th minute was bizarre. Ori Smarrison agrees and thought some fresh legs would have helped, adding Wenna Tabana and long back. Grant agrees Rowe should have come on earlier and we should have gone for the kill. Stuart Grimley thought we got bullied for 20 minutes in the first half, but stood up in the second. We didn't lose, we could have won, and we don't have many fit players to choose from. Jonathan Ditt, however, thought we stood up well, and we just don't get bullied anymore. Pete Robinson found it a frustrating game, but we've been spoilt for late goals this season, and Sutton were deserving of a point. Andy O'Neill thinks this team is giving everything. They are undefeated away since Salford early October, and 4 from 6 with key players missing. Alex can't find fault with any of the lads. We played some great football, we just couldn't get the final result. Hello and welcome back to the latest episode of the Railway Men podcast. We're mostly going to be focusing on the Tuesday game at Sutton that was earlier this week, but we're probably going to have a little look at Grimsby. There's a little bit of extra intrigue involved in that game now, I'm sure you'll agree. To do all of that, I'm going to need a panel. Today's are Alex Irani. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Stuart.
Mark Birtles. Hello, Mark.
Hi, everybody.
And Tom Bailey. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Stuart. How you doing?
Right, let's get cracking with the trip to Sutton. Alex, was a trip to Sutton on a Tuesday night at the end of November every bit as special as it sounds?
Yep, another glorious evening in Sutton. I did say Harrogate was one of the worst Football League grounds. Sutton definitely rivals it. Everything about it is non-league. It was also absolutely Baltic Tuesday night as well. So it was icing on a already average cake.
Tom, when I looked at them lining up, they were very much what I expected after seeing them last year. Big bruisers. They're going to try and bully you out of the ball and do everything they can to stop you playing football. Was that what you expected as well?
Yeah, pretty much. As you say, got some big lads in the team. They weren't particularly cultured on the ball, I don't think. But yeah, it's the type of team I think we've learnt to play against a little bit better in recent times than we used to. So I wasn't overly concerned.
And then, Mark, I think what happens next then after the game kicks off is it does really become apparent to me, at least, that we are in a stage of the season where the table doesn't lie. I think we were the better footballing side, but those pre-game sort of thoughts about Sutton were true. They weren't just going to step aside and say, OK, here's your 3 points. Thanks for coming down.
No, I was a little bit... I don't know what the right word is, perhaps nervous maybe on some of the social media sites, the build up to it, that people thought that it was some kind of given that because they were bottom of the league, we were just going to turn up and roll them over, and it was never going to be like that, and it won't be like that for anybody. So I always get a little bit twitchy when fans are expectant like that, because it can bite you on the arse. And I would agree, you know, they most certainly didn't roll over, and they made it very difficult for us.
I think, though, Alex, the best part of the game, CBR's goal, I don't think anyone would disagree. Behind the goal, did you have any idea how good that was? Because it was right behind the TV camera and it was an absolute worldie. But did you get that from the other end of the pitch?
No. The TV camera does it justice because you can see the walnut on it, so it finds its way into the far corner. Because he started out outside the goal and then obviously nestled in the side netting. You couldn't see that. It just looked like a left foot swinger from behind the goal. He had a swing here from his left foot and it found its way into the bottom corner. It was actually a brilliant finish. It was really precise and he finessed it into the far corner. So no, it didn't do it justice. I can't imagine there being a good view anywhere in that ground, because behind the goal is awful. You're sat on, you're right on top of the goal, which obviously would have been great if Thomas had stabbed that one in late on, because you'd have been right in the mix. But actually trying to watch a game of football is a nightmare. And I think I've got a different perception to everyone else. Everyone seems to think we dominated the game. I think maybe it was a 6-7 beers talking, but I always felt on edge. I always felt like, yeah, we're the footballing side here, but I'm just worried they're going to bully another goal out of us, because the goal we conceded was their sheer brute force that sort of forced it in. So that was, I was always on edge, but everyone else you speak to was like, yeah, point gained, but we were the miles better side, should have gone on to win it. And I never felt like we were that dominant. We always looked in control, but I always felt there was that sucker punch coming, and it never came, nor did we land the killer blow.
Alex, having been to many a crew game with you when you're 6 or 7 beers in, I can tell you that being on edge is a very familiar feeling for me too. Mark, the goal, is that something you see CBR do often?
No, not at all. Actually, he won the header. Then he managed to get it under control with the player all over him. And then I don't know if he slipped or he was fouled. I think it was maybe a nudge, but he didn't moan, which I would expect him to do. He'd normally be waving his arms around, I think, and having a bit of a moan there, but he just got up. And obviously the finish was superb. And it only struck me on Tuesday that last season we seemed to be scoring goal of the season every week. And for all the goals we've scored this season, I don't remember any absolute corkers. So I think that's an early contender, I think, for goal of the season so far. Unless you two guys, or well, three of you, can think of another one. I don't think we've scored any rip-roarers or shit-pingers, as Steve calls them.
Chris Long, Tramir at home, the free kick.
Ah, yeah, that was one. Yeah, yeah.
But that was shifted. He was in. He had the goal to aim at from 25 yards out, and he had it was sort of plenty of time to get the shot off. So no,
I think CBR, the fact that he puts it around the defender into the corner, it's absolutely a thing of beauty.
He made it look so easy that I couldn't help but think, why don't you do that more often?
You should tweet him, ask him.
Nah, you're all right, thanks.
Tom, after that, I did think we sort of stopped playing our game, which had been successful, and then allowed them to play their game and get back into it, really.
Yeah, it was a shame because, as Alex has kind of alluded to, although we did throughout the first half and into the second half, we did control the ball. You know, we dominated the game to an extent without creating loads and loads of sort of top-notch chances. And we did allow them back into it after getting that goal. And it culminated in sort of 10 minutes later, them getting back in the game, which we ideally, you know, we shouldn't be allowing that. We're good enough against that type of team to keep hold of the ball and see the game out, you would think. But yeah, it was disappointing to concede not that long after such a brilliant goal.
Mark, did you think the goal was coming when it did?
Oh, no. No, I don't think it was. Well, I think Alex has perhaps got a point where, you know, there's always that that feeling of we might. But we've been so good this year at standing up to that no, I didn't see that type of goal coming, I think, is a better way of describing it. Thought we'd got over that. It's, you know, the guy gets a run. It's a good run, actually, and he gets a run on whichever centre-half it is that he beats. I can't remember who it was. And Davis makes a decent save, but you'd expect him to save it. And then somebody else hits the post. But at the same time, the goalkeeper's still on his arse. So the player's had time to hit the post, and then it's come out to another player who's tapped it in, and the goalkeeper's still on his arse. So it's not an out-and-out blooper from the goalkeeper by any means, but part of me's thinking, why don't you get up? You know, you see that in training drills a lot, don't you? Keepers working on making a save and getting back up really quickly. And I was a little bit disappointed with him, but it was just a horrible, scabby goal that I don't feel like we've conceded for quite a while.
It was the only way they were going to score. And unfortunately, we allowed them to score it. say one thing on the keeper, and obviously it wouldn't be a Railwaymen podcast if goalkeepers weren't mentioned. Could he have claimed the initial cross? It seemed like he headed it from quite close in. And it wasn't, and again, coming back to the hazy memory, and obviously we're recording it several days after the event, I just remember thinking it seemed close enough that I'd want my goalkeeper coming out for that cross, and he was just nowhere, was he, in terms of coming near it. He was like obviously glued to his line, thinking I will just save the shot, which he did, but didn't exactly get it anywhere, that they couldn't tap in a rebound. So I just looked at it, and at the time I turned to someone, I said, I'd like my keeper to come and claim that cross if possible. But I don't know whether on the camera, could he have claimed it, or am I being particularly harsh?
I think there are a few bodies in the way, to be fair to him. And as you say, I think the save was fine personally. I know he didn't push it particularly wide. I thought it's fine. But under normal circumstances, you'd expect the defence to either get away, or as you say, Mark, quite rightly, he wants to be back up by the time that third opportunity comes in, and get more on it. So yeah, I think put him at minor fault, I would personally.
I think for me, having seen the vast majority of the games this season, I think I missed one, maybe two. My biggest criticism of him is that he pushes it out too much into danger areas. And I think he tried to push it away, but it did fall to a certain player. And that's the thing I think that he needs to do better with. I said last week, I think he's getting better. I'm not going to slate the fella. I think the main problem with him is he's not a Conquer or Beadle. I think that's still the case. What I would, though, add, and I'm going to sort of generalize the whole of the rest of the game to ask, all three of you a question, but I'll start with Alex because he brought it up. You said that you heard people saying that we dominated the game, and you didn't really think that was the case. I think it depends on what you mean by dominating. For the rest of the game, it felt like we were doing a training drill of, we're going to have the ball, we're going to try and score a goal, and you're going to not have the ball, and you're going to try and stop us scoring a goal. And I think we did dominate the game if we're talking about territory and possession, but I just don't think we challenged that goalkeeper enough.
That's exactly it. And that's why when you dominate the game, you create chance after chance after chance, in my opinion. And it feels like the domination is going to turn into a goal. Yeah, we had a lot of territory. Yeah, we had a lot of the ball. We did something all with it. Begins with an F, the word I'm looking for. So it's difficult to really... That's why I just never had it. And I always felt like they had us at arm's length. And I think they were quite comfortable with the flow of the game like that. It was like, let you have all the ball, let you have all the territory, and then we'll try and hit you on the counter when we get the opportunity, or we'll get a set piece, and then we'll load the box that way. So that's why I didn't feel like we dominated the game, because we didn't do anything with it. And it's like, how many chances can you say we really had in the second half? There was a Connor Thomas one late on, but it wasn't like we were carving them open time after time. It seemed like it was all in front of them and they were all quite comfortable. I think Bell missed a trick. I think Aaron Rowe should have been on earlier. I would have liked to have got him and Shiloh hugging the touch lines, stretching them a bit wider so they can't be as compact. Having Nevitt CBR there and Shiloh Tracy sort of doing his own thing, I felt like we could have been a bit more fruitful if we'd have gone and sort of had some actual width. But yeah, it didn't feel like domination. I always thought they looked quite comfortable. And talking, I know you mentioned it earlier, the size of one of their centre-halves, my word. I wanted to touch him to see if he was real. He was an absolute beast. So I know getting it wide, they were probably loath to get it wide on the basis that they just think, oh, the Incredible Hulk will head it out. But I just felt like we should have been looking to get to the byline a bit more, look to turn them around. It was all in front of them and they seemed quite comfy.
I've seen a few people make your point about Aaron Rowe not coming on soon enough. Do you not think that maybe, I'm just trying to think about what Lee Bell was thinking. You know, Aaron Rowe's only got two goals that he got the week before at Derby. And what's Elliot Nevitt on now? Is it five or six? I can't remember. He's probably the more likely to get a goal if he stays on. That's the only logical thing I could think for why he kept him on so long. Because I'm not sure myself. I think just rewinding a little bit, Shiloh Tracy should have put us back in front, shouldn't he, in the first half? I mean, that move, I've watched it again today to jog my memory. The move is brilliant. I think it's Connor Thomas out to Rio, who plays a 1-2 with Joe White. bursts into the box as he has been recently, pulls it back. It was a decent save from the keeper with his foot, but if he didn't score that, he's got to score the follow up, and you know he bounced the ball's probably still rattling now. But again, like you say, if we go in front at that point, it makes it very difficult for them, because I think we're going to see that more and more away from home, particularly against teams that are lower down. They'll just say, have the ball, see what you can do with it.
Yeah, I think Shiloh should be scoring both those chances, really. It's a shame he couldn't take it. And just touching on what Alex said in the second half around width, I think we tried to find Rio, well, we did find Rio a few times with a diagonal ball, and he brought it down really well. But the delivery, I remember he put one really good delivery in. The rest weren't quite what we needed. But as you say, with a centre-back like that, there perhaps wasn't always the best option. But I think they were trying. But yeah, the clear-cut chances weren't there.
Do we feel then that is 2 points dropped, or is that a 1 point gain, Mark? You said you were quite nervous beforehand. Would you have taken the draw before the game? And are you happy with the draw now after the game?
Well, that's a difficult one. Would I have taken the draw before? Having beat Doncaster, then probably. I think that a recipe for a successful season is win games at home and don't lose away. I was a little bit dismayed, I have to say, at some of the reactions that were knocking about after the game on social media. And I know that's not a reflection of the whole fan base, but people seem really, really pissed off that we hadn't won. And I thought that was a bit unfair. You know, we weren't awful. The players kept going right to the end. And as I said, I've posted on social media as well that at the moment, Lee Bell's relying on the sort of same 11 and 12 players. You looked at the bench the other night, and there was only really Rowe that he could bring on that you think is going to change the game in a positive way. And those players are turning up every week. They're putting a shift in. They're not losing. You know, they've held a League One club and then beat them in the replay. And I just thought it was a little bit unfair, the reaction that they got afterwards. I think a point away from home. But it's a bit arrogant, I think, for us to rock up anywhere and think that it's a given. If football worked like that, then the week before we had no right beating Derby. If football doesn't work like that, you know, Sutton don't want to go down. They're not going to roll over with the legs in the air and let us just steal 3 points. So I don't know. I don't know what you guys think, but I thought the reaction from some quarters afterwards was really unfair.
I want to know what you're doing with your legs in the air.
No, you don't.
Just for context there, Mark, you know, that was their fifth game in a row that they hadn't lost. You know, I think they won one and then they've drawn the last four. So it's not tremendous, but that is their fifth game unbeaten. Tom, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with Mark saying, I think some people need to get a bit of perspective. You know, I think they're used to us getting into situations like that. The last two games we've scored in injury time to win the game. There have been other occasions where we've scored in from 85 minutes plus to get a result. And I think there's an expectation because we're doing really well this season. But I think people have got short memories. You know, it wasn't brilliant last season. We're doing incredibly well this season. We've got some significant injuries. And I think the team is doing very, very well. Every now and again, they're going to play okay and not get the win. And I don't think that's anything to complain about. Yes, you look at the table and they're bottom and we're in the playoff positions. Yeah, you perhaps expect to win the game. But as Mark says, I think that's because we've done so well this year. We're going to have ups and downs. And if the downs are not winning away at Sutton, then we're doing okay.
For me, the only reason it's 2 points dropped is because you went 1-0 up against the side bottom of the league and didn't hold on to the result. But you'd have offered me a point before the game. I probably would have taken it. It feels like at the moment we're treading water slightly with all the injuries we've got and how we're trying to manage through. So it's like, do you know what? If you can keep rolling at home and nick the points away from home, it just keeps that momentum going. And that's what we felt like we're doing. So that's why I would have taken a point before the game. But if you go 1-0 up against the side bottom of the league, you'd expect to close the result out if we're serious about pushing for promotion. And I'd argue there has obviously been some hyperbole on Twitter after the result, shall we say. But in my head, 6 months ago, we were Sutton, ultimately. So I'm not quite sure what's changed overnight that all of a sudden we should be thrashing sides like Sutton because we've had a good start to the season. I think everyone just needs to settle and get a bit of perspective. Of course, we'd love to go up automatically. But if someone said you finished seventh in the league, I'll offer you seventh in the league. I'll snap your hand off for it and say, right, let's have a three-game season and see how we can get on. So I just think we'll just need to settle a bit. We're almost just getting slightly above our station, maybe.
4-point weeks across the season will lead to some kind of success and a decent finish. Do you guys think context makes a difference? And what I mean by that is, if we hadn't got that last-minute winner against Doncaster and drawn 2-each and then beat Sutton 1-0, I think those 4 points would be viewed much, much differently. But they're still the same 4 points.
I'm going to jump in first of all, because I don't know if you've listened to this podcast before, Mark. I feel like I say context is key every single week. I'm also a history teacher by trade. So yes, context is very much key for me. I'm going to be quiet there. That's my answer. Tom, no, Alex, you're welcome to jump in. Sorry.
I agree.
No, I think you're spot on, Mark. Yeah, yeah. I can't add a huge amount to what you said. I think you're spot on.
Okay, last thing for me about the game, and then I'm going to finish. And I'm very excited about this because this is me doing something I don't normally do and talking about tactics and formations and stuff like that. When I watch the Alex, I'm very much going off my feelings. And I think that the term these days is vibes, of what I feel as a game's gone on. But what I've noticed in the last few games is something Lee Bell has come up with in terms of adapting to the opposition. I think Doncaster did it against us. Sutton definitely did it against us. In allowing our extra man to be our centre-back. And then what we've done in response to that is Luke Offord being the extra man. So going forward, I think that's what led to those goals on Saturday last week against Doncaster. I think it looked, again, like Sutton was saying, okay, we're going to mark these guys. There's going to be a man free. Go forward. Is this something we're going to have to expect now? I think I'm right in saying that this term is the low block type of defence. And blocking from anywhere from midfield to their own goal. And that's going to leave us with this extra man. Mark, I would argue that Luke Offord and Mickey Demetriou are good enough to beat this low block.
Yeah, I agree. And correct me if I'm wrong, it was Luke Offord that carried the ball out and played the ball down for CBR for the first goal. You're right, he's been doing it. And Luke Offord's, you know, for people that have listened for a long while, a few of us have said that we'd like to see Luke Offord tried maybe a little bit higher up. And I was initially unsure as to whether he could do it, whether he could think. I think Russ made the point, can he think quick enough to play a bit higher up? But he can. And Mickey, you know, Mickey will carry the ball out. And and Zach Williams can do it very well. Conor O'Reilly can do it very well. So we're well stocked to think in that position. I don't like these modern terms, low block and stuff. I'm like you, I'm old school. But yeah, it's you make a very good point.
Who's old school? I just said I'm going on vibes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm the same. I had low block and all that malarkey. It means nothing to me.
Lastly then, Mark, I mentioned it quite a few times on this podcast, but I think the away following for the Alex this season deserves a shout out.
Yeah, I was very impressed when I watched an iFollow and saw how many were behind that goal. For a Tuesday night, I went last season. It's a long, long way. And I would imagine it's an even longer way back on a Tuesday night. So well done. Was it, Alex, you were there? I think there was 162, maybe, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, it was, well, you know, people turned up and you've got to credit them because, like you said, I mean, it's awkward enough for me when I was going back to mum and dad's in London, let alone coming all the way up from another couple of hundred miles on top from Crewe. So hats off to those that made the trip.
All right, let's finish there then on that positive note. Obviously, no men's game on Saturday. That was followed by no women's game on Sunday. So next, we'll turn our attention to the Grimsby game coming up next Saturday. Okay, with Grimsby then, I suppose there's one thing we really want to get started with and one thing only. Alex, Callum Ainley, do we miss him?
Do we miss him? Like a hole in the head. I think it was in Callum's best interest to leave the club. I obviously wish him every success. He played, I think, it was over 200 times for us, so he clearly was a long servant, but he needed a fresh start. So, yeah, will he come back to haunt us? I don't know. We seem to have a record of ex-players scoring against us. Hopefully it doesn't rear its ugly head again.
Okay, on a serious note, and Alex, I will stick with you because that was obviously not my real question. There's a new manager at the club. It is Dave Artell. It's been almost 2 years now since he left Crewe. That's probably enough time to sort of let the dust settle, assess his legacy. It's something that I think I know. Well, it's not what I think. I know that you feel quite strongly about this. What do you think Dave Artell's legacy at the club is and what should it be?
Dave Artell is the only person in the history of this football club to get promoted as captain and manager. As far as I'm concerned, that's his legacy. Now, don't get me wrong, the final season we had under him was the worst in the club's history. There's no getting away from that. He did not help himself. No one is going to exonerate him from that. However, every year previous when he was manager, there were signs of improvement and the bloke played at Wembley with a broken foot. So I'm pleased for him. I really hope it goes well at Grimsby. Obviously not against us. And I hope he has a long and distinguished managerial career. He goes with my best wishes. I think there is an element of revisionism with him. And I think people have got the hump with him coming out and saying the club didn't support him, didn't do this, didn't do that. All his podcasts going the rounds. But at the end of the day, he was an unemployed bloke. He has to keep himself relevant to ensure he can get a job. No one's going to begrudge him that. But I'm certainly not. So, yeah, I wish him all the best after next Saturday.
Mark, Tom, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I would completely echo what Alex says. I think that final season, it's easy to remember some of those games and some of the decisions and everything that went on around it and forwards at wing back and all of that stuff. But Alex is spot on. He captained us to promotion, and he managed it to promotion, and that shouldn't be forgotten. I've got a huge amount of time for the man, and I think he should be remembered fondly on the whole. And I do, again, I wish him well. But yeah, let's get the 3 points first.
Mark?
I think anybody that's listened for a while knows he was very good to me off the pitch at a difficult time. So I'll always hold him in very high esteem for that. As Alex points out, every season leading to the promotion, we finished higher. He progressed us. The promotion team was a joy to watch. The last season was horrendous. We can't pretend it was anything. But for me, I think I understand your point, Alex, about him being unemployed and having to keep himself relevant. I think he was a little bit disrespectful at times towards some of his staff that he left behind. To suggest that he did everything himself would suggest that they did nothing. And I don't think that can be the case, especially when you look at the players that are coming through now. You know, he wasn't coaching every single player all by himself. And obviously, some of the things he said were perhaps factually inaccurate if you speak to the people that still work there, let's say that. So, you know, I wish him well. I'm glad to see him back. But I do think that those comments that he's made in podcasts, and numerous podcasts, it has to be said, will perhaps give it a little bit of extra needle this weekend.
There is always going to be, yeah, there's an element of what he said that I take with not a pinch of salt, a large chunk of salt. But he's got to, is he throwing people? I do think there's an element of truth in what he said. But my counter to that is he was the one who was happy to have all the control. Look, in my head, bygones will be bygones. We can't change what's happened. We had the worst season in our history with him as manager. But that's not how I'm going to personally remember him. I wish him all the best. I do think he was a good custodian for the club as his time leading it. I think in the end, it got quite fractured. I do think we'd be looking back on it differently if after a Bolton Wanderers away game 2 years ago, the board had put him out of his misery, which is what they should have done. We lack ruthlessness at the top of the club, which obviously impacted what happened down the bottom. So I'm not going to... Dave Artell will forever be my hero. I'll never forget walking in at Southend, seeing him on the pitch there. And it was a couple of weeks earlier when he scored against Cheltenham and done his hamstring. You know, Nick Powell scores that goal. He's going to Man United for £5 million. Dave Artell scores it and he's not ready for the knackers yard yet. It was just how he was that has always endeared him to myself. So yeah, look, I will defend him. I do think actually, I look back on, I could be critical of his reign in the sense of he probably should have got promoted earlier. It took him a while to settle on that 4-3-3. Let's not get into it. Dave, good luck at Grimsby. If you could turn out one of the shit performances that we had in our final season at League One next Saturday, that'd be much appreciated. Otherwise, feel free to go on the promotion run after that.
Well, that leads me to my next question. Tom, we've all seen this movie, haven't we? The man with the redemption story. He's circled the game in red pen on his calendar. It's the one that he's undoubtedly going to play down in the media this week as it's coming around. But it will mean the world to turn us over on Saturday, won't it? His first win with his new club.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I think he would want to win for sure, for all of those reasons and more. They're not in terrible form. I think they've won their drawn the last three league games. Like the Sutton game, it's not a formality. I know are they 20th? They're somewhere down there, aren't they? So again, if you look at our form and you just simply look at the table, you go, well, maybe we should be getting a result here, but it's not going to be that easy for Dave Artell being one of those factors. So yeah, he'll want to win, but I would hope our lads, after getting a draw against Sutton, as we've been talking about, where they would have wanted the 3 points, they'll want to bounce back as well. So I would hope the desire's there on our part as well.
I've literally got no idea what to expect because, I mean, you know, I think it's well documented that Lee Bell and Ryan Dicker spend the week sort of preparing for each. They put up like almost like a plan together for each game. They assess the opponents and then look at how to stop them and then what we can do to hurt them. And of course, when they've got two games to go off, how much influence he had in his first game, I don't even know. He'd had the job a day, I think. And then they've played Oxford in the cup away, which is, you know, Oxford away is a tricky game for Grimsby at the minute. It'd be a tricky game for Crewe. So I don't see how they can sit back and formulate a plan because I don't think they'll know what they're going to come up against. I actually think David Artell will have a better idea of what to expect than we do. And we've got to be prepared for that. But hopefully, you know, I think we said earlier, the league table at this stage doesn't lie. We've got better players than Grimsby. And I'd like to think that we'd go there. And as before, there's no arrogance from me. If we don't lose, as long as we keep winning at home, that'll do for me.
All right, then. Mark, score?
1-1.
Alex?
Desmond.
Okay, that's a 2-2 to anyone not aware what that means. And Tom?
I'll go 1-0 Crewe.
Lovely, a nice positive one to end on. Thank you, Tom. Okay, I spoke to Alex from the DN35 podcast to get the Grimsby take on the Dave Artell situation and everything else this season. Hi, Alex. Welcome back to the podcast.
Good evening, Stuart. How are you? So good evening. Like anybody knows, hello is probably the better way of doing it, isn't it, really?
No problem. I think the first place to start is the manager position. We've just had a chat on our main part of the podcast about the legacy of Dave Artell at Crewe. So I think the best thing to do is to ask you if you're happy with the appointment of him and looking into the future as manager of Grimsby.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. I know a couple of people who, you know, fans and friends who are really quite happy. And I've got no complaints. We've played two games since he's been in charge. We played MK Dons away. We've played Oxford United away. He wasn't my first choice. I think my first choice was probably a little bit outlandish with something like the Cowleys. They've been to Lincolnshire. They know it's flat. So assume that, you know, they're happy with not having a Nando's within, you know, 25 minutes of them. But he seems to be a useful choice. Slightly worried that he spent 18 months out of the job after leaving you guys. He feels, and this is very much an early assessment, you probably get two good years out of him. And then after that, you want to be looking for your next legacy. He might run out of ideas and in turn get a little bit spiky and, you know, start lashing out. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but that's just my initial sort of assessments and like. He started really well. MK Dons away. He'd had like an hour or so with them. So, you know, there's not really much you can expect from it. So whether or not you can even imprint on him that the fact that I thought we played particularly well, I thought we were the better of the two teams, whether or not he has anything to do with that, I don't know. It's slight worry that, you know, the players are now only performing because they've got their jobs on the line. And then we played Oxford United, and I thought we played really well. And I don't think there was necessarily, apart from their efficiency in front of goal, we created a number of chances, which we should have really put away, a couple of one-on-ones and stuff that, you know, when you're bottom of the league, you've got your striker bearing down on goal. You're just as expectant for the ball to go wide or end up in your own net. And we played pretty well. And I don't think if you'd have gone into that expecting to see which league was in, I think you'd have struggled to work out which team was in League One and League Two. It's going to be an interesting one. We were, you know, tipped as dark horses by many for this season, given, you know, we've a little bit of budget from the FA Cup last year, which is, you know, now over this year. We've got people like Kamel Conte in, we've got some young players in, and if they can play like they did against MK Dons and Oxford, then we're well on our way. We will see. But he's going to be an interesting one. He's saying all the right things. Well, within the first week, you know, he hasn't won yet, but he said the right things. He's talking a good game. He looked a bit intense. You know, they did a whole inside the training thing. I think me and him would clash after about, you know, 2 weeks. I'm like, fuck off, Dave. leave me alone. But yeah, he's saying the right things.
Yeah, I did watch that. And, you know, I was interested in seeing him back in football. And I agree, it was a little bit intense. But I think that is what you're going to expect. I also think I was interested in your 2 good years and then a bit spiky. I was just wondering who you've been talking to or what you've been reading to sort of get that impression. But that's probably a conversation for another day. What do you think his first job is now that he is manager? What's his first thing he's got to sort out?
Shore up the defence. We score fine. We play pretty well. We've got attackers that are scoring goals. I think 3 of our attackers have already scored 6 or 7 goals this season, you know, individually. So that's not the problem. The problem is making sure that we've got the defence there to maintain it. The goalkeeping position is kind of up for discussion. Harvey Cartwright on loan from Hull City is a Grimsby born and bred lad. There's pictures of him, you know, topless on the pontoon, you know, screaming and shouting. So he must be enjoying it. But, and he makes some really impressive saves. He did again yesterday, but he didn't start well. And he knows that. The other guy we got in, Jake Eastwood, he was, you know, pretty efficient for us when he came in on loan a few years ago, but he's not a first choice goalkeeper. And I think that might be a way you can make maximum effort for minimum budget straight away. You're looking for an experienced head, you know, one of those goalkeepers that's 37, 38 years old is starting to think about going into coaching, and you can drag him in and he'll still do a decent job. I don't know if Mark Schwarzer is still out there, you know, with his Zimmer frame ready to don the gloves again. But defensively is probably where we need to look at. Attacking, we're pretty well. I would like to see a little bit more pace in the team. Left wing would probably be something that I would probably look at strengthening. Left back has been a position I was pretty happy with this season until the start. And I think there's an opportunity there. But I think if he can get a good, solid base, then we're well on our way. I don't think there are many places. I think this league is really tight. And you know, if we win 2 games, we're looking up rather than down. We would be what? I think we're 8 points off the playoffs at the moment, which is not too much of a turnaround. You could end, you know, going into January, if we've won a couple of games, then we're looking at better players to sign. It's incredible, isn't it? This month, I think, is always really quite important, because if you're still down at that bottom part, I think it's harder to attract players going, oh, I'm not going anywhere near you. I'm not playing Wilston next year. And I think if we can get it right, I think we've done the right thing at the right time. He's come in with, you know, a month to assess the squad, to start looking at opportunities that are there. I think if we can do that, the worry is that we've got short trousers. You know, we can be really good attacking, and then defensively we look like 1997 Newcastle defensively. And then if we're really defensive and work it, you might as well go home and put on for a goalless draw. But I think if we can shore up this defence, we're going in the right direction.
Okay, Alex. Dave Artell is a former Crewe player. He is a former Crewe manager. What he is not is a former Crewe Academy product. Luckily, though, you have one of those to talk about as well. How is Callum Ainley getting on at Grimsby?
I think I've probably got a different opinion of him of some others, and I might be judging him harshly, but he did something for me against Colchester, which I found a little bit unforgivable. He the ball came to him and he tried to lazily flick it with the outside of his boot for a guy on the overlap didn't commit it, didn't do well with it, lost the ball immediately. That's fine. That happens. But the next thing he did was he didn't follow that player. So that player then took the ball off him, ran. And I think if he'd have been with him, jostling with him, trying to put him off, then he wouldn't have been able to shoot from 30, 20 yards out and put it in the bottom of the net. And he just stopped running and he just gave up. And I thought that was really disappointing. And I know that was, pre-Artel, but that was something that marked his card for me. He came on yesterday against Oxford and was useful. But I couldn't tell you anything that he has done that has stood out for me, but that is, that's pretty much everybody on the team so far this season, as we sit, 20th, 18th in the league, whatever it is. He's a player which I wouldn't care if he left. I wouldn't be particularly bothered. And that's not fair on him because he's only been with us for a few months. He's got plenty of time to bed in. Artel, I would love to know what their relationship is like from some of the crew fans I've spoke to. I've got that gif of Ricky Gervais from The Office in his head when that woman walks in the bar. He just goes, oh, fuck's sake. that might be the way it is, or it might really work. But he hasn't stood out for me. He's been a useful sub, but he's done some things that are evocative of a player either low on confidence or low on a buy-in of what he's meant to be doing. And the only thing we can say in Grimsby is, work your ass off. As long as you work your ass off, you're going to be absolutely fine. A bit of Grimsby grafting, you'll be great. I didn't see that for that one moment. And then all of a sudden now everything is, tainted. But it would be interesting to see where he can go. From what I can tell, he's got a bit of an ability. We just haven't seen it yet.
Okay, so on Saturday then, we are coming to you guys. Is there anyone you haven't mentioned so far that we should look out for?
I wouldn't eat at the Mariner Chippy. That would, send you all home, quite early for the nearest Kazi. But Kamil Conte is probably one of the best midfielders in the division. Really smart. And Artel has already started to use him more significantly than Hurst did. He is a really great ball winner. What I would say is a proper crew player as well, as we've played each other up and down the championships and through the leagues. He is really great on the ball, can turn it over. What we haven't seen from him yet is that attacking ability. He hasn't. I think if he could add a couple more goals to his game, then he's gone in January. So we'll wait if that would be appreciated, Camel. He's really decent. I think Anthony Glennon in the last couple of games has been a lot better. Left back, got a decent foot on him. And then on the other end, Robert Malarkey as well, I think has been really good. And I think he's started to work quite closely with Arthur Ganua. And overlapping with him down the right. And then obviously you've got Danny Rose, who is the petulant shithouse that you guys hate. And we've not had one for a while. So we're like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. we've been enjoying him. He's pretty decent. And I think both Rakeel Pike and Donovan Wilson have found a little bit of a scoring record at the moment. As long as you don't get near our, final third, I'll be happy. But unfortunately, other teams like to attack us.
All right, Alex, on that note then, what do you think the score is going to be on Saturday?
Interesting. It's definitely a both teams to score sort of thing. So get your money on as quickly as you can. I would imagine we desperately need a win. We've got a nice little run going in the league anyway, Oxford aside, where I don't think we've lost in 5 games, something like that, but it's a hell of a lot of draws. So I'd like to see us sneak a nice little 1-0 win would be quite nice. But yeah, I would imagine let's go 3-2. Everything suggests 3-2. We're going to win 3-2 and at least you get a couple of goals to go home to. So I'd never predict wins. So expect 3 points and you're welcome.
Alex, thank you so much for your time.
No problem.
Right, couple of things to end with, as ever. They're very short. I can't imagine this section is going to take too long. Firstly, we're recording this Sunday afternoon, Sunday lunchtime, FA Cup draw. It is very premature. We haven't even played the first game against Bristol Rovers yet. But if we do go through, Alex, away at Norwich, that's a decent away day for round 3, isn't it?
Oh, it's underwhelming. Yeah, I suppose it is. They're obviously recently Premier League. Norwich is you know, there is a big club. I think that's fair to say. But come on, give us a bone, a cup draw. I'm underwhelmed by it personally. I think some people seem to be quite keen. We've not played in Norwich in years. I think we're talking Championship era since we last played them. So I suppose it's a grand to visit. I've personally done it. I would be going back if we get through. I think the concern is you either want a big side knowing you're going to get knocked out, or you want a side where you can progress. This is halfway house, isn't it? It's a side that's bigger than us that probably will beat us, and you've got all to gain from it. Everyone goes, it's a shot at nothing, but I just feel like, yeah, they're struggling a bit. I know they've got a late winner today, I think, against Bristol City. So you just feel like you'll go there, you'll probably lose 2-0, and you think, was it really worth it? Still won't get past Bristol Rovers anyway. I don't think it puts as importance on it. If we'd have drawn Manchester United away, then there would have been a bit of tension in the Bristol Rovers game. I actually think the pressure will come off now, knowing there's not that much waiting at the other side, so you can just play without any pressure.
Tom, are you as excited as Alex there?
Yeah, about the same, to be honest. I watched the draw with my son, who was very excited in the hope that, as Alex said, we either get a massive Premier League team away or a very beatable team at home. And obviously, we didn't get either of those things. It kind of has an air of inevitability about it. If we do get past Bristol Rovers, it's a game where you wouldn't really expect to go and get anything from it. I've personally not been to Carrow Road, and I think I'd make the trip. So, yeah, it works for me.
Mark, I think you're a little bit happier with it, are you not, than Tom and Alex?
I wouldn't say happier. I'm neither here nor there. I mean, I feel like people that have listened to me on here for a while kind of know me. And if we avoid our friends from Burslem first and foremost, I'm always happy. It's like anybody but them. Weirdly, and I can't remember the reason why, but for as long as we were in the Championship, I haven't actually been, so it will be a new ground for me if we go, and I would go. Look, I think the league is the priority for me at the moment, and what it means is there's less pressure on that Bristol Rovers game. Yes, of course, I'd like to win it, but I'm not going to go storming back to my car and come home and kick the dog now if we lose. You know, if we got a
don't, chip... Don't kick your dog ever, Mark.
If we've I never do. You know what I mean, though? If we got a trip to Old Trafford or Anfield or the Emirates or something riding on it, it'd be very different. But, you know, if we get through, I'll go down. And I was at Derby, so it's a case of you never know.
Okay. One of the other things I want to bring up really quickly, Alex, Neil, my brother, was on last week. He did a little, a few words on ticket prices and how it's putting him off, and he's not the only one. A few days later, the Alex announced Barrett home £10 tickets. Positive steps in the club?
Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, I land back in the country at 10 on that Friday evening, so I won't be able to go. But I really hope there's a good take-up from it. They need to be inventive. You can see, I mean, the Doncaster game, I think there was, let's say, give or take 500 away fans. The total attendance was 4,300, so you had less than 4,000 home fans for a side that was in the top four of the league playing some really good football. It's alarming, is probably a stretch, but it's not good. You know, we should have, you know, 4,500 home fans in with the way we're playing at the moment, and we're not hitting those numbers. So hopefully the £10 tickets bring them in. Barrow are in good form. Hopefully it's a good game. Hopefully, if you get a handful of people that get the bug, then it was a worthwhile promotion as far as I'm concerned. Whether it will wash his face or whatever, who knows, but hopefully we get a good crowd in before Christmas, and credit to the club. I hope there's a half-season ticket offer too, because I'd probably take them up on that if they did. And I suspect there'd probably be a few others that would as well, who are balking at £27 a game. But actually, if you got a half-season ticket, which was in line with what the season ticket is at the start of the season, which is around £15 a game, you'd probably get some decent take-up on that, I suspect.
Yeah, Tom, I know because of geography, you are only able to get to Gresty Road every few games, but a half-season ticket, like Alex suggests, probably would sound quite attractive to people around the club in terms of wanting to see a good, successful side playing good football.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's a cracking idea. And I think, as Alex says, they need to try a few different things to get people through the door. Because if we can't get people in when we're playing as well as we are, then it's not a good situation. So, yeah, I think something like that, something inventive and innovative to get people through the gate would be fantastic.
The reality is, it's a great idea, first of all. And I pat the club on the back and echo exactly what you've just said, Tom. I think they need to do more of it and be more inventive. I think when you look, we're overachieving to what anybody expected, I think, for this season. I don't think that's unfair to say. We're playing some really, really good football, as good as since we went up. We're winning games, we're scoring goals, we're entertaining. So if you look at all the reasons why people should and could come and watch Crewe, we're ticking all those boxes. So the only thing left that's keeping them away, you've got to suggest, is the cost. And, you know, I don't care what walk of life you come from, £27 for a League Two football match is a lot of money, especially if you don't go on your own. I don't want to go over that again. We've gone over it enough. But yeah, to end it on a positive, it's very good. I'm pleased to see it, and I hope it's not the only time we do it between now and May.
Yeah, £10, all in favour, really good. And then I think, you know, it's the 3rd of December when we're recording. Let's say, give them a week, get that half season ticket out, and then, you know, perfect Christmas present for many a people struggling to find. Okay, so last bits for us, a little bit of admin. I've realised as we started recording this that I told Alex the next time he's on is going to be his 50th pod, and it's only just come to me now. So, Alex, you've made it to the half century. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me 50 times. I didn't realise you were that desperate.
I only know all these stats because of putting them together for our 100,000 downloads a few weeks ago. I was putting all the stats together. Mark, I can tell you, you're two away from your 50th. So, you know, you're closing in on him. And speaking of 100,000, it's worth just pointing out really quickly before we go that last week we were talking about the podcast having 100,000 downloads. This week just gone, our website had 100,000 visits. So, you know, ticking over really nicely. All the work Russ is doing really, really paying off. Thank you if you've ever written for it or you click on it and read it or share it or whatever you do. There's a couple of really good articles coming out this week, including one of my favourite series, the What Crewe Means to Me, a really good read coming up. So make sure you do check that out. But that will do us for today. Mark, Alex and Tom, thank you for jumping on today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, as ever, for listening. We will be back to discuss the Grimsby game next week. Until then, goodbye. Dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, blue moon.